Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, that was it. It has been some time since we have seen people fill this sanctuary, and I think we can do better than that. I'm going to be one of those preachers this morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. I am so glad to be back in the house of the Lord. I've been here every week, but I am glad to have people back that we can actually look at while we're talking. That is nice, and people to see and people to, even though we're socially distant, we can still talk to each other and love each other. And I'm so glad to just have everybody back. Welcome back. We will continue, as of right now, through the month of January, doing worship only at 10:30. There will not be any Sunday school here on campus right now. And there will not be any Wednesday night services here on campus. They will be online only through the month of January right now. We will let you know as things change. It is a new world we live in, and things change every day. Something we have to get used to. But I'm just so glad to have you here. There's not a lot of announcements, so I'm not going to take up a lot of your time. I'm just glad to have you back. And I just look forward to worshiping the Lord with you this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to admit, it has been over a month since I have been here in church, and I, for one, am excited to be back here, and I thank you all for the prayers. I thank you for the calls, the messages, the cards, and the meals that were provided for my family. I am so grateful, and I appreciate your support and understanding as we dealt with COVID at our house, as well as the death of Ginger's mom. But I want to open us up in prayer today. We have several that are still dealing with this virus. We have some that are dealing with other things within their lives. And just continue to pray for each other, support each other, and love each other above all else. But let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, lifting you up. Your name is above all names. And at your name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to be back together as a church family. Thank you for your protections. Thank you for your guidance. Dear Lord, now more than ever, we are in time of confusion, a time of fear, a time of doubt. But dear Lord, we know that you are not the author of fear. That we have an enemy that throws obstacles at us, that wants us to be afraid, that wants us to cower and not stand boldly and proclaim your name. But dear Lord, we pray that you give us the courage of Gideon. That regardless of how many people we have standing with us, that we will stand strong and proclaim your name throughout this land. Dear Lord, I thank you for those that have come to this service. I thank you for those that are watching online, dear Lord. I pray protection over each and every one of us. But dear Lord, above all, I pray that your name be proclaimed and lifted up today. That each of us, whether we're watching online or that we're here in person, will know that they have been in the presence of God. Dear Lord, I ask you to fill this place with your Spirit right now. And as your people join together in prayer, we claim the promise that you will be in the midst of us. And dear Lord, we ask you to move among your people. Dear Lord, that lives will be changed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Dear Lord, we bless your name. And we ask you all of this as we come to worship this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
King David wrote in the book of Psalms when he was talking to our Lord and Savior. He said, "I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness." So let us do that. Let us stand as we sing the first two verses of Glorify Thy Name, hymn number 249. Glorify Thy Name.
And adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth.
If you're watching at home and you've got kids, pull them in close right now as we go to our children's sermon. I've got a confession to make to especially my youth. People, you guys may not know this, but I'm a bit of a geek. I don't know if you guys know that or not, a bit of a nerd geek. And that I want to talk about a celebrity. I want you to think about a celebrity or somebody famous, kids, that you would like to meet and what you would do to meet that person. And I'm going to tell you about one that I did one time about, let's see, Jonathan 13. It's about 9 years ago. Ric Flair came to the Cleveland County Fair. And we stood in line for 3 hours to see Ric Flair. And I was talking about lining up, getting there before it was supposed to be there, and then we were at the front of the line, and then by the time the line started moving, we didn't have to wait very long, but we got there early. So we stood in line for 3 hours to see Ric Flair. My cousin was with us, and he got up, and he was wooing and stuff for Ric Flair. And I think Ric Flair was probably just shaking his head. We live in a culture that glorifies celebrities and famous people. And people do lots of crazy things to meet famous people. But I want to share with you about a guy named Zacchaeus who heard that Jesus was coming to town. And Luke chapter 19, verse 4 says that, "So he ran ahead," and that's Zacchaeus, "and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house.'" Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus and who he was and what he could do. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And you kids watching, you don't know anything about taxes, but you adults do. And we don't think highly of tax collectors sometimes, I don't believe. And he wasn't thought very highly of, but he heard about Jesus and what awesome things Jesus could do. So he climbed up in a tree because he was a little man, and so he could see Jesus coming. What I want to encourage you to do is, especially kids nowadays, is YouTubers and TikTokers and video gamers, they get on and want to watch, and we make such big deals about them. Well, if we would make such a big deal about fellowshipping with Jesus as we do about celebrities and people on TV and people on the internet, life would be a whole lot better and make a whole lot more sense. So my encouragement for you is to seek Jesus, do whatever it takes to get close to Jesus and get to see him this week. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for these blessings that you give us, for allowing us to be back in your house today. And thank you, God, for being a God that we can come to. Give us the wisdom and the discernment to seek you out and to want to know you and fellowship with you above all others. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
You'd think that you, your voice would be good, but we hadn't sang either in about a month like we typically do, and we get good practice. But Sandra asked me if I could sing one for us this morning, and I chose this one here called Feel the Nails, because the life we live is watched by everybody, and especially Jesus and especially God. So we wonder sometimes maybe how much we're actually hurting them by what we do, and we should. So this is a song I chose this morning. Jesus died for my transgressions, and that he paid that price a long, long time ago. When he gave his life for me on a hill called Calvary, but there's something else I really want to know. Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? The crowds cry, crucify again. Am I causing him pain? Then I know to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting him. It seems that I'm so good at breaking promises, and I treat his precious grace so carelessly. But each time he forgives, what if he relives the agony he felt on that tree? Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Can he hear the crowds cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? then I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting you.
Thank you, Doug, for that. I want to say thank you to Chad. Chad has had a little bit of a trial by fire over the last month. He has really stepped up. He has preached. He has done weddings for me because I wasn't able to. So I want to say thank you to him. I want to say thank you to David for filling in and preaching also. And for Nick and Bruce for always being up there in the sound booth and running the sound and the video and everything else for us as we were basically on quarantine from church for a month. It has actually been 1 month exactly today that Ginger tested positive for COVID. And to say that this has been the most difficult month in my family's life is no exaggeration. We were actually supposed to leave that weekend to go to Florida for a family wedding to exchange gifts with my parents and my family in Florida for Christmas. We weren't able to go because of this virus. My daughter Faith and Leanne went, not knowing that Ginger had tested positive, but we find out the day of the wedding that she had tested positive, and therefore they were exposed and could not even give their grandparents a hug, my parents. They could not go to the wedding. Casey, who had not been exposed to us, but Faith and Leanne had stayed with, could not go to the wedding. So basically, everybody was upset in our family. To be honest with you, this virus is no joke. The doctors don't understand it. It affects everybody differently. I never tested positive. I had 3 tests and tested negative each time, but I was diagnosed by 2 separate doctors that I had it, and even went to the emergency room. My doctor sent me to urgent care. The urgent care sent me to the emergency room because of what was going on with me. I had an EKG. I was hooked up to the EKG. They did a chest x-ray. They drew blood. They did a whole workup on me and said, yes, you definitely have it, but you have no secondary infection, so you need to go home and just keep doing what you're doing. That was the worst day I had. The rest of the time, I only had a 99 temperature, 99 to 100, just enough to make me feel terrible and achy. That lasted for a week. The bad time, where it was the worst, only lasted 2 days. Timothy tested positive. He had one day where he curled up on the couch and took a nap in the middle of the day, which he never does. That's the only thing that he did. The rest of the time, guess what he did? Video games. Movies and video games and playing on my old phone is what he did the rest of the time. Faith never tested positive. She tested negative, never had a symptom, never anything. But the worst part about the virus was not how bad you felt, but it was the social isolation. It was the emotional toll that it took on us. And church, I'm going to tell you this. That is exactly the way Satan attacks us. He wants us to feel alone. He wants us to feel by ourselves. I love watching nature shows. I love watching shows about Alaska. And you know, in Alaska, they got some big animals up there because it's so cold. They got the muskox. They got the gray wolf. And if a pack of gray wolves attacked a herd of muskox, those muskox will take and put the young and the weak in the center, and they will surround them with their horns facing out. The wolves can't do anything about that. So what they do is, before they're able to do that, they try to isolate one of the members of the herd. They pick out who is the weakest. They pick out who is the youngest. And they isolate them from the herd in order to take them down. Church, that's what Satan does to us. The Bible says that he is like a roaming lion seeking whom he may devour. He is constantly trying to separate us from each other. And I'm going to tell you, he's been doing a great job over the last 2 months of separating Christians from each other. The day I came off of quarantine was Saturday, the 2nd. I came off of quarantine that morning, went and took my two children to eat at the snack shop. The first time I'd been in a restaurant in a month. Took them to eat at the snack shop. Went to go get Timothy a haircut because he looked horrible. In fact, I started calling him my fourth daughter because his hair was getting so long. And he went. I took him to get a haircut. Ron in Bowling Springs was closed, so I had to take him to Shelby to Great Clips. I'm sorry, those of you that cut hair, Maria, I apologize, but we had to do it. On the way to Great Clips, I get a call from Ginger that her mother had passed away. Telling my kids was difficult. But God's timing is perfect, even in that. Ginger had already been there for almost a week, helping her dad, taking care of her mom. She was able to be with her. But I was off of quarantine, so that meant that I could go to Tennessee to be with Ginger, be with her, our family. My mother-in-law's favorite color was red, so we all bought red clothes to wear. I bought this sweater vest to wear to the wedding, the funeral. And I wore it today, not in honor of my mother-in-law, but because of the color, to remind us that our hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the scripture that I want to read, and this is a different sermon. I've got no notes. Normally I have two or three pages of notes up here. I have no notes this morning. I am just pouring my heart out to you this morning. Sharing what I have, the frustrations and the pain that I have had over the last month. And things that God has shown me over this past month. So if you will, turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, and if you will stand as I read this psalm, it's not very long, it's only 8 verses, but Psalm 121, it starts by saying, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to stumble. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going and out and coming in. From this time forth and forever. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, thank you for being our help in all times. Thank you for being our protection in all times. Thank you for never failing us, never leaving us, and always loving us. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Wednesday, we spent the day getting ready to for my mother-in-law's service. We went to the service, went to the grave, and we came home. After we'd been home for a while, we started seeing things about what was going on in Washington. We had been oblivious to that up to that point. My son, Jonathan, who was in the Navy, it shook him up. What bothered him more than anything was, regardless of who was responsible for it, is that they took the American flag off of the Capitol building. And they replaced it with the Trump flag. And he said, I did not join the Navy and I did not take the oath to see the American flag taken off of from our nation's capital. That bothered him more than anything. And you know who's behind that? And I keep imagining what Bob Ramsey would have said. Oh, good Lord, you did not mess with the flag. That Marine would have been upset. And all of our military our former military would have been upset because they fought to defend that flag. Because that flag was a representation of the freedoms of our country. That's what upset my son the most. He could have cared less about whose side said what and who did what, but it was when they touched that flag. Church, what upset me more than anything? Yes, I was upset about the flag. Yes, I was upset about the protest. Yes, I was upset about the violence. But what upset me more is the attack on Christianity. The attack on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Church, Satan is trying to isolate us. He is wanting us to feel like we're alone and that we have no hope. I have friends that I love dearly. I have family members that are on different sides of the political spectrum than I am. And to be quite honest, I don't care. I don't care. Do I understand them? No, I don't. But I don't care who they voted for in this last election. What I care about is their relationship with Jesus Christ and how I love them and what they mean to me. That is what's most important, but we seem to have forgotten about it. Nick, I apologize for what I'm about to say. Facebook is from the pit of hell. Instagram, Twitter, everything. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. People get brave behind a computer screen and a keyboard. And they will say things that they would never say to somebody face to face. They treat each other like trash. And talk to each other like trash. Airing their dirty laundry, sharing everything and making anything that they can do to make other people look bad. It can be used as an incredible tool to bring people together. We use it for our church services. But unfortunately, every good thing Satan tries to take and twist and make something bad out of it. And he's doing that same thing with social media. He's doing that exact same thing with TVs. He's doing the same thing with radio. And he's doing the same thing in the churches. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that our hope comes from politicians. Nowhere does it tell us that our hope comes from each other. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that our hope is in doctors. Do you realize that in regards to everything, but especially in regards to this virus, if you talk to a doctor and they're totally honest with you, you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you they have no idea what's going on with this virus. They say there's no rhyme or reason on how it reacts to things or who gets it and who doesn't. I was talking to one of my brother-in-laws this past week, and he said he's got a friend whose family has this virus. This particular friend has had heart issues. He has smoked his entire life. And by all accounts, he should be the one that is suffering the most. He doesn't even have it. Living in the same house with people that have it and are having a rough time. And it's not affected him in any way, shape, or form. Doctors that are honest to tell you they don't understand it. They told me they didn't know why I was testing negative, but I definitely had it because of all my symptoms. They don't have all the answers. That's why they call it practicing medicine, because they've not got it all right yet, and it's not perfect. The same things with lawyers. They say they're practicing law because they don't have the answers, and they don't get it all right yet. Our hope is not found in anything here on earth. This psalm tells us where our hope is from. Our hope comes from the Lord. Our hope for the future comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. People were so excited about the end of 2021 or 2020. And I have seen things like crazy saying, okay, I've had my free 7-day trial of 2021. I'm ready to cancel my subscription now. 2021's not started out any better than 2020 ended. Why is that? Because there is nothing magical about New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Nothing changes just because the year changes. We are dealing with the same things we were dealing with before. And the only way that we're going to get through it is through the power of Jesus Christ. And by sticking together and standing strong on the Word of God. Not changing the Word of God to make it fit what we want. But standing firm on the Word of God for what it says and how it says it. We are divided over everything. Churches are divided. When the Bible says something, that's it. Period. Final. Doesn't matter if you want to believe it or not. I hate to break it to you. But God is God, and He does not care what you think about what He has to say. We are not that important. We do not have that much power. But God has chosen to use us. He has chosen to save us. And He has chosen to use us to reach others that are just like us, broken and in sin, so that we may be able to reach others just like us. It's going to be a rough year. I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to be a rough year. And the only way that we're going to be able to get through it is through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about the faith that brings you here on Sundays to sit in these pews. I'm talking about the faith that causes you to get up out of these pews and go do something. That's the faith that's going to get us through. By standing arm in arm for the values and the principles that are found in God's Word. No personal agendas. Nothing except the agenda that God has for us. I have preached the last several months about how what God wants to do through us, what we are to do, what is our purpose? And our purpose is to go out and make disciples. Our purpose is not to fill these pews in our own church, but our purpose is to go out and make disciples of all people, teaching them to obey everything that God has commanded you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is the purpose of our church. That is the purpose of each and every one of you that have called on the name of the Lord and has been washed in the blood of Christ. That is your purpose. 2021, church, is the time that we need to go out and do that. We need to go out and meet people where they are, not how we want them to be. But go out and meet them where they are and show them that their hope is not in our government. Show them that their hope is not in who is leading us, but our hope is only found through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our job, church. And the Bible says that if we are obedient, that God will do what? He will bless us. It may not be the blessings that we think, but he says that he will bless us if we are obedient, that he will be with us if we're obedient. And we find Paul writing in Romans, And this is something we need to carry with us all through 2021 and forevermore. That if God is for us, who can stand against us? You guys remember the story of Gideon? Gideon was just a boy. He was working in the fields for his father. And the enemies of Israel came and took him over, and they said that their armies were so large that it looked like locusts or grasshoppers in a field. They just covered everywhere. And he was hiding. And God said to him, I want you to lead my army. And Gideon's like, I can't do that. So he tested God. You know, he put the fleece out and said, if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, I'll do it. Then he did it. And then he said, if the ground is dry and the fleece is wet, I'll do it. Finally, God convinced him that he was really talking to him. Gideon said, okay. So he gathered together an army. And then God said, you got too many. He gave him a test. Told him if anybody that wanted to go home and not fight could go home. Half his army left. Then he gave him another test. Told him, okay, watch them. When they bend down to drink, whoever laps it up like a dog out of the stream, send home. But keep the ones that dip their hand in it and then drink out of their hand. Keep them. God tested them until he got down to 300 men. And I guarantee you, Gideon felt, there is no way in the world this is going to happen. We've got 300 men going against thousands upon thousands upon thousands of men. And God told him why he was doing it. He says, I want the glory to go to me. And I'm going to deliver them over to you so no one will doubt that God did this. Church, we're being told the same thing. There may just be a few people that are willing to stand for God. But I'm going to tell you, I peeked at the back of the book. Guess what? We win. God wins. And we win because we're on God's side. He wants us to stand regardless of how many men stand with us. And Gideon did the same thing. He surrounded that camp. He gave every man, you know, they had their sword and their shield, but he gave them two things. He gave them a torch and he gave them a pot. And he says, when you hear the horn blow, I want you to smash that pot and let your light shine. And they surrounded that camp. And he blew the horn, and they all shouted and busted that pot and let their light shine. And you know what that army down in the valley did? They got up and saw themselves surrounded. They got so scared, they started killing each other. And those 300 men were able to wipe out that entire army because God did it. Church, I'm telling you, it's time for us to smash our pots and let our light shine. Let people see the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He is the only thing that got us through this past month. He is the only thing that got us through this past week. He is the only thing that will get us through every time. Because our health will fail. Our finances will fail. Our families will fail. But God never fails. He is always there. He will not sleep. He will not slumber. You guys realize that when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel, facing the prophets of Baal. And he kept jabbing at them. We'll say, yell louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on vacation. Maybe he's gone to the bathroom. Just poking fun at him. Our God does not go on vacation. He never takes a break. And our God never sleeps. He is always there for us. That is our hope. And it's time for us to take the stand and stand with God and let others around us see the hope that is in us and see our light shining. I look unto the mountains. From where does my hope come from? My hope comes from the Lord.
Our hymn of invitation is page 54, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Would you stand as we sing 54?
Ginger leave out of the service and go back. She got a phone call from Mike McCrite. Peggy McCrite is in the hospital. She's in Atrium Health Shelby. She's vomiting and weak. She's been there since Saturday night. Her potassium is down and her magnesium is up. Is down too? Okay, potassium and magnesium are down. And they're keeping her another day as of right now. Mike fell Thursday night, was also transported to the hospital. He was sent home with a sprained ankle. And then Amanda is staying home with Mike. Tina is on her way here. And Vicki is in Arizona keeping in touch. Yeah, so... just be in prayer for them as they're going through this. And continue to pray for each other. Continue to lift each other up and stay in contact with each other. We need to be like the muskox. Christians, especially Baptists, seem to have a way of kicking people when they're down. We don't need to do that. We need to help the people that are down get up. We need to help them grow strong. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is by our help and leaning and trusting in the hope of Jesus Christ. Okay? So please join me in prayer at this time before we're dismissed. Don't forget that Wednesday night will be online only. We will not be here at the church. But I hope you're able to join us online. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, thanking you for this time that we get to spend together. Thank you for allowing me to be back in with my family here at church. Dear Lord, I lift up Mike and Peggy to you. Dear Lord, you know how special they are to us. Dear Lord, I just ask that you strengthen their bodies. that you just protect them and that you allow them to improve, to get stronger, especially Peggy as she's still in the hospital, dear Lord. Be with us as we go from this place today, dear Lord. Just bless us and protect us. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.